Targets.
On ABC Radio, Drive.
When you hear about the Philosopher's Stone, you probably think about a certain boy wizard and a certain school for witchcraft and wizardry. Well, as it turns out, the Philosopher's Stone might actually be a real thing. Well, kind of. A group of researchers have found a coded section in the writings of an English alchemist, Arthur Dee, which they believe to contain the recipe for the Philosopher's Stone. Philosopher's Stone, that is. So they set about cracking that code. Dr. Richard Bean is a researcher in data science at the University of Queensland, and he is part of that team. Richard, good afternoon.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Doing really well, thank you, and thank you for taking the time to chat to me this afternoon.
You're welcome.
How'd you get involved in this project?
Well, I've often been, interested in ancient mysteries. When I was a teenager, I used to like the works of Jules Verne, the French writer. You know, he wrote the books Around the World in 80 Days, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and he wrote another book called Journey to the Center of the Earth. And in that book, it's about a professor who discovers an encrypted manuscript from an Icelandic alchemist in the 16th century. And he locks everyone in the house until he's finished decrypting the manuscript, which will reveal the secret for how to go to a mountain in Iceland and descend into the volcano and get to the center of the earth. So, you know, as a teenager, that was really fascinating to me. So it probably increased my interest in secret codes and breaking secret codes. So when I heard about this manuscript that was published by two researchers from America and on Austria, Megan Piorco and Sarah Lang, I was really interested to know what this encrypted manuscript might contain. So I got straight to work on it.
You know, strangely enough, I think I can tell a similar story from watching those shows when I was growing up, and I think that may well have been what sparked my interest in this. So how do you solve a code like this?
Well, it came with a bit of context. So it was in a shared notebook of John and Arthur Dee. So they were very famous English alchemists in the 1500s and 1600s. So John Dee was the guy who invented the phrase the British Empire. He was the court astronomer to Queen Elizabeth I. And Arthur Dee was his son. He was a physician to the Tsar of Russia. And he was an alchemist himself. So they both wrote in Latin and in English. And Arthur Dee, his son, preferred Latin for his writings. So in 1634, he wrote a book called Arca Arcanorum, or the Secret of Secrets, about how he'd managed to find the recipe for the Philosopher's Stone that you're talking about. So Sarah and Megan thought this manuscript was written around the same time. So it had to be in Latin or in English. And the name of the document was translated into English, Marrow of Hermetic Philosophy, but it was in Latin. And there were no J's and V's in the document because they're interchangeable in Latin with I and U. So after that, it's just a matter of working out what kind of cipher was used, and I had some help because there was a table present in the manuscript which looked like something called a Porter cipher, and then it's a matter of just looking for patterns, so repeated segments of text, and work out what kind of English words could correspond to the Latin words. So I was even helped by the fact that there were spaces present in the text, so you know how long each word was. So there's a lot of help in the context.
So it's knowing what you're looking for and being able to recognise when you're looking at it.
It's finding the patterns and being able to recognise that they're non-random, because when you look at a cipher like this, it just looks like a bunch of random text, and it's enciphered with something like a computer password of today. But your computer password might be quite short, only 8 or 10 characters. But here it was 45 letters long, and it was from a Latin poem about alchemy from the 1590s. Sorry, I should say a poem written about alchemy from the 1590s. Yeah.
There's so many aspects of this. Was this a particularly difficult code to crack for you? I mean, you've had a lot of experience in this.
It was difficult because the key used was very long. So as I was saying, like 45 letters. And even though you know, like it's probably been encrypted with this cipher called the Porter cipher, you don't know exactly how it's done. And there were errors in the cipher text. And even there's a problem like Arthur D's handwriting was the classic doctor's handwriting, so it was very difficult to read. Handwriting's changed a lot in 400 years, so the H's and the B's looked very similar. So there are a lot of difficulties to overcome. So it's difficult to explain to somebody who hasn't done this sort of thing how difficult it is, because you say, well, you know, it was done before the age of computers, and surely these days with the power of computers, you could just solve it in a jiffy. But it isn't really like that, because you have to work out exactly how it's done before you can even start.
Was there a eureka moment in the process when you thought, by jingo, by crikey, I think I have cracked it?
Yeah. So right at when I was beginning to crack it, I found like Latin words that were corresponding to these blocks of random text. And you see a lot of Latin words have the same kinds of endings, like ending in UQUE or UM or US, because of all the conjugations of the verbs like agricola, agricola, that sort of thing. So then I knew it was working then, and I could see that all the segments of the Latin plain text were about 45 letters apart. And as I was finding each Latin word, I was expanding them to the left and to the right until those gaps were all filled in. So I was writing it out in my notepad rather than using the computer itself there.
A lot of dimensions that you've got to be able to take in order to understand what it is that you're seeing.
Yeah. Obviously, it's not something that you could just, throw into a computer program. So initially, Megan and Sarah had tried automated computer solvers, but nothing was working. And that's probably because it's a slight twist on an ordinary cipher, and the key was very long. So with the puzzles that you see in cryptogram association puzzle books, they usually have a much shorter key, and you also know exactly how it was done. But in this case, that wasn't possible.
You're listening to ABC Radio Across Australia. My name is Sean Bindley, and my guest is Dr. Richard Bean. He's a researcher in data science at the University of Queensland. And we're talking about the Philosopher's Stone and his efforts to crack the code. Tell me more about Arthur D and his brother John.
Yes. Well, as I was saying, they were both alchemists. So John D was a real polymath. So he was an astronomer, a mathematician, an astrologer, and he owned the largest library of books in Britain at the time. So a lot of his books have made their way into the Bodleian Library at Oxford and into the British Library. And this particular notebook, or this manuscript we're talking about, was a shared notebook of John and his son Arthur. So they were recording all their alchemical experiments in it in Latin and English. So alchemy is just a way to understand nature, a way to try to understand ancient secret knowledge, and to do experiments to try to understand nature and achieve this fabled goal of the philosopher's stone, or the elixir of life.
Cutting edge science for the time, would you say?
Yeah. So they didn't have any of the knowledge we did about atoms and things like that. And so it seemed quite possible to them that mercury or lead could be turned directly into silver or gold. And it seems obvious to us these days that you can't do that without the help of, you know, nuclear fusion or particle accelerators. And it wasn't until about 1980 that people used particle accelerators to turn bismuth directly into gold. But in those days, you know, this is how science progresses. Yeah. So Isaac Newton spent a lot of his time on alchemy, trying to transmute the base metals into gold. And this is how we learn to do modern science, through continuous failure until we finally learned all about, you know, the modern day atomic age.
Must be a pretty satisfying feeling for you in your field to be able to begin to crack this code.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering, like, what was why this particular recipe for the philosopher's stone was encrypted when there are so many other recipes out there that were just written out in normal text. So Arthur D. must have considered this, you know, very special or secret knowledge, so that he didn't want it to fall into the wrong hands. You know, the unadept people who hadn't been instructed in how to conduct the process.
So what was the recipe and what did it say?
Well, that's what we're still working out. So it's part of the final process of a step of processes. It involves something called an athanor, which is like an alchemical furnace. And ingredients like mercury, and it mentions euphemisms like ravens and swans and eggs and things like that.
Very important to be able to read between the lines, isn't it?
Yeah. So they didn't know about the impurities in chemical elements there. There's references to how many days you should cook things together, but there's no references to temperature. It's more about waiting for the color of the substances to change to red, to white, to black, and they don't understand pressure as well either. So it's quite difficult to replicate this given 400 years passage of time.
We spoke about you becoming inspired by the work of Jules Verne, for example, earlier. But how did you get into code cracking in specifically?
Well, I've been interested in solving puzzles for a long time. And as I said, I was inspired by all the different codes in Jules Verne's books. But a couple of years ago, I just started getting interested in the Kryptos sculpture at the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, near Washington, D.C. in America. And it contains encrypted passages. So the fourth passage out of four is one of the most famous unsolved codes in the world. And I wasn't getting anywhere with that. I haven't got anywhere with that. But along the way of learning how to do code breaking, I solved some other famous unsolved codes, like a 1920s cipher of the IRA, life after death cipher from the 1940s, codes from the Biafran War in the 1960s. So as I'm doing all these things, I'm learning about the context of that history. So it's not just maths, it's modern history. And in this case, Arthur D's notebook, it's really ancient history. So it's a lot more difficult to understand the context, especially because there's the language difficulty, Latin instead of English, added in as well.
As you progress, does your knowledge increase and therefore allow you to be better able to crack more codes? I mean, it's always a gathering of knowledge, isn't it?
Absolutely. So the algorithms to break the codes get better, and to break those codes from the 1920s and 1940s, I downloaded a lot of, you know, tens of thousands of books from Project Gutenberg online. So I was able to develop language statistics for all sorts of different languages. So that included English and Latin to help my computer programs along. So that was quite critical in this.
Just about out of time, but what are you working on at the moment?
Well, I'm really interested to hear if there are any other alchemical ciphers out there. apart from looking at Kryptos now and again, I'm not looking at anything specific, but there's a there are certainly projects out there. There's one called the Decrypt Project about looking at unsolved historical ciphers. So they're always more interesting than the puzzles, because you know that you're getting an insight into history, secret knowledge from the past that you know, no one else has been able to read until now. So that's what makes it exciting.
It is really exciting. Richard, it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, Phil.
My pleasure. Dr. Richard Bean is a researcher in data science at the University of Queensland, and we've been talking about his work trying to crack the code of the Philosopher's Stone.
What is positive?